Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Most folks know this as Mary's song. So hear now these words. Mary said, "My soul proclaims your greatness. Oh God, my spirit rejoices in you, my Savior. For you have looked with favor upon your lowly servant, and from this day forward, all generations will call me blessed. For you, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. Your mercy reaches from age to age for those who fear you. You have shown great strength of your arm. You have scattered the proud in their conceit. You have deposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places. You filled the hungry with good things while you have sent the rich away empty." May we add blessing and meaning to the reading of these words. I, by the way, was reading from the Inclusive Bible, which is my new favorite version. It's very reflective of the original languages and also takes in mind the contemporary setting where, frankly, where women aren't property. So it has more inclusive language in it. I encourage you to check that out. So last year, I gave a message about this time, and one of my favorite folks told me that she'd really like to hear this again next year. So, and I made a promise that I would do it. And so this is the fulfillment of that promise. I've worked it a little bit just to get it a little bit clearer and make sure that I communicate what I'm wanting to say. So my message is entitled, "Have Yourself a Rebellious Little Christmas." For the last many years, or around about this time, the American viewing public has been subjected to the seemingly constant squabbling by television pundits about the war on Christmas. To make matters worse, the point on which this supposed war attempts to divide us, well, it's false, completely and utterly untrue. You see, the war on Christmas wants us to believe that there are only two sides, the Christian side and the one that everybody else is on. Now, the funny thing is, those who spend a lot of time getting all worked up by this perceived war on Christmas, the ones who believe that they are the only Christian side of this war, well, they say that they are worried about Christ being taken out of Christmas. Well, if what we are fighting for is to stop taking Christ out of Christmas by allowing Christmas to become more and more commercialized, well, then surprisingly, I'd have to say I'm ready to enlist. Now, it's not for the reasons you might think. I'm not on the side that by default is considered the Christian side, and I'm also not on the non-Christian side. If anything, I'd make the argument that the dominant face of Christianity, as it's seen on television and promoted through news program, is itself far, far from what Christianity is supposed to be about. It's a sort of whitewashed, sanitized version of Christianity that every year presents an increasingly cleaned up version of the Christmas story to the viewing public. And that's just the beginning of the unraveling of there are only two sides to the war on Christmas myth, a Christian, non-Christian side. You see, the child in the birth story that we remember this time of year, well, that child was not part of the dominant culture. The way the religion he inadvertently started now is. You see, the religious stories that were told in those days, well, they were under the shadow of a dominant culture. They were stories of oppression and hardship, stories of overcoming unthinkable odds, stories of hope for people living in times and cultural positions that, well, quite frankly, felt hopeless. But today our stories are told from places and positions of power. Today, Christianity is the dominant culture. So instead of an olive-skinned Middle Eastern, possibly unwed, pregnant woman who was seen as little more than property, giving birth to a child that the world might actually see as illegitimate, who was wrapped in what rags they could find and placed in a somewhat smelly feeding trough on the animal side of the house, instead of that story, we end up with a clean, white-skinned European woman giving birth to a glowing baby wrapped in impossibly white swaddling clothes and laid to rest in a manger that looks more like a crib than a trough in the midst of a stable that is more kept and clean than many of our houses. So, I'm all for a war on what Christmas has become. But I'm not on the side of what Christians have turned it into. Nor am I on the non-Christian side. No, I'm solidly on Mary's side. Truthfully, I just about prefer the elimination of what our modern celebration has become to the increasingly whitewashed version we hear every year. The Christmas story has been hijacked by a dominant culture. Places of power and positions of prestige have warped the comeuppance sensibilities of the original Christmas story and what's become known as Mary's song. And folks, I have to tell you, it's not a sweet and demure and whitewashed song like our take on it has become. It's downright rebellious. To me, it's her verbal act of flipping the tables of people who use their places of power to take advantage of others. She says, "You have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud in their conceit. You have disposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places. You have filled the hungry with good things, while you have sent the rich away empty." That vision of liberating the oppressed, the downtrodden, has been slowly replaced year after year with a story that no longer brings fear to the powers that be, but rather supports the big business agenda of profit and mass consumerism. Or on Christmas? Come to think of it, they're probably right. There is a war on Christmas, but it's actually waged by many of the very people who think Christmas is getting squeezed out of our culture in the name of plurality and other religions. See, if the Christmas that they support wins, well, I for one would say all is lost. If those claiming there's a war on Christmas get what they want, I'd have to say the rebellious and liberating heart of Mary's song, it's lost. So there is a war on Christmas, and we have been supporting it. If the present day whitewashed version of Christmas continues to be the dominant version, then I believe it will slowly smother us in a sea of privilege and perverse oblivion of those most in need, the oppressed, the downtrodden. If the Christmas present continues to masquerade as the Christmas past, we will be left with a Christmas future where we continue to give out of our abundance rather than out of a response to need and out of love. A Christmas where We give to those who already abundantly have, while the oppressed, the downtrodden, watch our overindulgence and rightfully judge us by actions that run contrary to our words of a child born to bring justice to all those who are oppressed and being stepped on by the powerful. Hear Mary's words again. You have shown strength with your arm. You've scattered the proud in their conceit. You have disposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places. You have filled the hungry with good things while you have sent the rich away empty. Those words from Mary, they occur really early in the Christmas story as we have it recorded. It's meant to set the stage for what Jesus' teachings and life were all about. And given that, it should be the dominant message of the Christmas narrative, a message of equality and justice, a message of love and compassion, a message of lifting up the low and lowering down the haughty. So, is it? Does a modern day message of Christmas, does it bring hope to the hopeless? Does our modern day Christmas celebration bring justice to those who have been treated unjustly? Does it feel as rebellious and liberating as Mary's song? Well, if your answer is no, then whether you knew it or not, you too believe that the Christmas past has been whitewashed by the Christmas present. This Christmas season, as we tell the stories of Jesus' birth, let's also remember his words. No greater love has anyone than this, that they lay down their life for a friend. And remember the humble, unassuming way he came into this world. Let us not forget that he left this world among thieves as an outsider hanging on a cross in an attempt to teach us something about God's love. A child, born in a manger, no crib for his head, sent into the world to teach us something about the value of every human soul. Sent in as the least of these, born to a poor woman and laid in a borrowed feeding trough. Sent to teach us that the least of these is simply... it's simply a human construct created by the insiders to define themselves over and against people that, frankly, that they see as somehow less than them. Sent to show us what a life looks like when it starts from the assumption that all people are worthy of love. That is not just a better story than the one now told. It's downright rebellious. This Christmas, I wish for you and for me a rebellious little Christmas. One that encourages us to be advocates for those caught in the traps of hunger, homelessness, oppression, poverty, and war. Traps that are created by the powerful, but mostly impact those who struggle. I wish for us a rebellious little Christmas that also encourages us to see that we too have difficult spaces in our lives. A Christmas that helps us see beyond the cleaned up Christmas of the present to the humble, unassuming beginnings of Christianity. A baby born to an outsider. A baby who would teach the world about love, justice, quality, compassion. War on Christmas. A war on what Christmas has become. A war on worshiping consumerism in the sacred halls of Walmart, Target, and Best Buy while the world is swallowed up in the reality of not having enough food to eat, a place to live, clean water to drink, access to reasonable health care. Sign me up. because I refuse to let the rebellious story of my faith be co-opted by corporations who only wish to convince us that we are privileged and we do deserve what we have more than others and we should revel in our abundance. Even as we celebrate the birth of a child who laid in a feeding trough, who lived his life with no place to lay his head, who told us that just as you do it unto the least of these, so too you do it unto me, who gave up his very life that we might understand what true love looks like. War on Christmas? Indeed. Let's sign up and bring back Mary's rebellious little Christmas. We're going to now enter into a time of reflection, of prayer. As always, accept this as is right for you. You can just let the words wash over you and grab hold of the ones that might mean something to you and take you to some thought process. Think of it as a meditation, as a reflection, or as a prayer. Good and gracious God, in the midst of our preparation for Christmas, we are reminded of those who find it much more difficult to find joy in the season. We're reminded of those who live in places where they struggle to find clean water to drink, food to eat, a safe place to sleep at night. We're reminded of those here in the U.S. who don't have enough food to make it through the weekday or even through the day. We're reminded of those around the world that are in the same position, those who don't have a roof under which to sleep, those who have had their lives turned upside down because of illness, those who believe life will never be the same because of the death of a loved one. As we pray for each of these, help us remain mindful. Remind us, may we remain mindful of them this holiday season. Help us seek out ever increasing ways to share love with them. Encourage us to re-envision what Christmas has become and to practice it more humbly with love for all of creation. Amen.